Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast, the place to be for drama teachers, drama students, and theater educators everywhere. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. You have reached episode 126, and you can find any links for this episode in the show notes at theaterfolk.com/episode126. Okay, so Patrick Dirksen, he works in a school, a rural school, that has 200 total students. So that's it. That's from kindergarten all the way up to grade 8. He's a grade 8 classroom teacher, and he's also a playwright. We have his play, A Lighter Shade of Noir. And 5 years ago, he started putting up plays with his students, just like that. He made a choice to include theater at the middle school level. And I just think that it's always a fascinating choice when something didn't exist before and now it does. And let's hear why he made that choice and how he has developed it. All right. Hello, everybody. I am sitting here today with author and teacher Patrick Dirksen. Hello, Patrick.
Hello.
Hi. And so Patrick is one of our Theater Folk playwrights. He has a play with us called A Lighter Shade of Noir, which I absolutely adore. It makes me laugh. The sign of a good comedy for me, because when we read these plays, Patrick, we read them. There's so many times we have to read them, from the first initial read to going through numerous proofs to seeing it published. And I always, the sign of a good comedy for me is that I just giggle every time I look at this play. You are also a middle school teacher.
Yes, primarily.
Primarily. That's the main gig.
That's the main gig.
And how long have you been a middle school teacher?
This is about 10 years now. I guess I had the 10-year
You got the pin.
Award. I'm like, really? 10 years already? Time flies.
Absolutely. And so why middle school? Why is that where you sort of hang your hat?
Like, originally I'd planned to be a high school teacher, I guess, but then things took me to a middle school and found out that I loved it. I loved the kids and I loved the staff. It's kind of a whole different ball game. In middle school, you gotta think on your feet a little bit more and go with the flow, and it's great.
It's really funny because I think you have to have that very specific mentality to relate to middle school students.
Yes.
And what about them is the most fun to teach?
Yeah, like I said, I think just the fact that they're coming out of the learning ABCs kind of thing, and you can really start to work with them and take them into territory that is new for them, and it's really, it's just a fun age to see them coming into that. And they're still eager, unlike maybe some high school students.
And what do you think is, what's the most frustrating?
Well, when it comes to drama, they're starting at ground zero, right?
Ah. Like,
there's no knowledge at all in how it all works. So, like, probably 3/4 of the kids that I have in my plays are starting with no experience whatsoever. And then the rest are coming with a little bit of stuff from church and community theater, but it's learning the very basics. So those kinds of things, like, you know, face the audience, speak louder, all those things, I guess, would be the frustrating part of it. But it's really neat by the end of it how much they grow.
Well, you get them, well, I guess ground zero, the good thing about ground zero is that they haven't learned any bad habits.
That's true.
So you get to introduce everything. And then, as you say, by the end of it, I'm always amazed how quickly middle school students can catch on and actually and learn
crazy.
This stuff.
It's crazy that I keep pushing, like when I started writing was for my students, and I make little 2-minute skits and thinking, I don't know if they can do this. And yep. And then I keep pushing it every time. And eventually we got to full length plays. And I still tend to push it and see, okay, how many lines can these guys memorize? How many stage cues can they handle? Like, and they keep amazing me.
Well, I think that's okay. So that's a wonderful segue. So because you are not a full-time drama teacher in your school, right?
No. Yeah. I teach grade 8, grade 7 and 8.
And and you're also you're not in a main a city.
No. Yeah. We're in our school has about 200 kids from kindergarten to grade 8.
Also, how many?
And we're in the middle of a few different villages. We're actually not even in the village. We're in the middle of farmland. And they come from all the villages around us.
So you don't. So there is no drama program at your school.
No, not as such. There was like we have our Christmas. Our Christmas program was the big event when I started at this school, and there was no spring drama program at all.
So what inspired you to take that sort of step to go? Okay, I'm going to start writing skits for these kids to perform. What inspired you?
I think when I was in my first teaching job in this area, they had a spring drama. And the teacher there, Eric Hirschfeld, and Cindy Clausen invited me into their, like they've been running it for years. And it was such a good experience. And when I started at this school that I'm at now, then after it took me a couple of years to sort of get my feet down on the ground there, being a new teacher. And then once I felt comfortable, then I approached the principal and said we should do a spring drama, and away we went, and we've been doing it ever since.
So, and why do you write for them as opposed to finding plays, or do you do both?
We've done both. Most of the time I've written for them, yeah. I remember when I was in grade 7, again, I was at a very small school, even smaller than the one I'm at. There was grade 6, 7, and 8 in one classroom, and there was a educational assistant, I think it was, that she wanted to do a drama with our school. And she asked me and my friend if we wanted to help write it. And so the three of us wrote this play. And again, so I was in the situation where my students are now and never thought of doing something like that. And again, it was such a really fun experience. And then we acted in the play. It was like everybody has to get involved when you're in a small school and in our school right now, too, every single student in grade 7 and 8 is involved. About half of them are acting, and then the rest are doing backstage stuff or promotion stuff. And yeah, it's really neat to get all the kids involved like that.
So it sounds like that experience, it's obvious, that experience just stayed with you.
Oh, yeah. I can remember clearly the days we spent after school getting that play written, and I mean, it was a French school, so we went to the French theater festival in Winnipeg, the big city, right? And that was crazy. And it felt like we were in Hollywood.
And what do you think was it about being involved in a play that was so influential, as opposed to being involved with sports or some other activity? What was it about writing and putting on a play?
I've always played with whatever kind of toys have been around, and I had G.I. Joes and Ninja Turtles and played with my sister with her Barbies and whatever. And once you get into middle school age, then you start to be a little bit more self-conscious about playing with toys like that, I guess. And to me, this was a way to bridge into something more culturally acceptable. I don't know. So was still creating stories. It was still having fun with characters. And it was a way to just continue that. And I never really stopped.
You know what? I've never heard it described like that. And I think that's perfect, particularly for middle school who are so on the edge of, I'm still a kid. I don't want to be a kid. Mm-hmm. And yet you're giving them still an opportunity to be in that world and yet do something which is a little more acceptable.
it's called a play for a reason. You get to play. So, yeah.
I love that. That is awesome. Okay, so now let's talk about your kids now. So you started out and you started with skits and just kept going more and more and more until you got to a play. And I really like the idea that all of your students have to participate, right? I'm guessing it's a classroom project.
Yeah, we work it into our ELA curriculum, and for a good month and a half, that's what we do. I have the other middle school teacher at our school. He's really great and takes on the backstage stuff, so we can just get everybody involved.
For your backstage students, what kinds of jobs do they do?
Well, they have to. We always create our own set, so there's painting the backdrops and making props. And figuring out the light and the sound, like we have our soundboard and lighting system, but we get the kids to do it. Like once the play is happening, the staff just stands there and watches them because they really figure it all out way better. I have to say, it's kind of, as the director in the play, it's nice having the kids doing the sound because they learn the cues so much better than any adult would, who would show up sort of the last day and go, okay, what's going on here? The kids are there right from the start, so they know the cues and they do an excellent job of it.
Well, it must give them, it must be, it's sort of a sense of pride and accomplishment too. Like it's not, those are not easy jobs.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And then they're already asking when the play's over, is like, can we do this next year? And so you can tell that they're into it and they really like it.
Do you feel hampered at all by being in a rural area, or do you feel that we have nothing so we get to create the best theater from nothing?
Yeah, I think it's more of the second one. Like, there's limitations as to what we have, like our backdrops. We have to go borrow them from other schools and costumes. But we have a really good community of teachers that help us out that way. So, but yeah, it's fun being free to just create and, you know, do what we want to do.
How do the community and how do the parents react to seeing their kids do this?
Oh, it's really fun.
That's good.
The gym just fills up with, I mean, it's not even just parents. It's people come from all over. So people, I don't even know who they are. And so that's really great to see that it can become part of the community fabric, having us do these things. And there's a strong like Mennonite presence. Mm-hmm. And they've got their own theater. They do Low German Theater several times a year. So,
oh, what's that?
Like, drama is, what's that?
What's Low German Theater? Like, just in a different language?
Yes. Yeah. They speak Low German. It's kind of closer to Dutch than German. But, and so they, to keep their culture, the Mennonite culture, they perform in that language. And yeah, it's neat being part of that drama. Like, their dramas are often humor and comedy. So I try to work with that into our plays as well. And throw in the Low German jokes into the play. And that's always a hit. It's maybe a bit pandering, but...
Well, it's your audience, right? It's,
yeah, exactly.
If your audience is having a good time, then you can do another play and another play and another play.
Yep, and they're really supportive. And they show up in droves and it's great.
And so you must have a supportive administration as well.
Yeah, you bet. The administrator who was there when we started is not there anymore, but the new one has continued the tradition of when I ask for something, they say, it's for the kids. Let's do it. Like, there's not much hesitation. We figure out the details after. So it's really good. Awesome support.
That's great. So how long have you been doing plays with your students?
5 or 6 years now.
And how have you seen the students change from being involved with theater?
Well, because the young, like the ones I'm teaching now in grade 8 were in kindergarten when we started, or when I started teaching there. So they've been seeing us do plays their whole school careers. And so they come in excited that they're going to be part of it. And they're kind of chomping at the bit by the time they get into grade 6. They're waiting for grade 7 when they can start taking part. So
I wonder if that is also a benefit of being in a small rural community where that's the event, and so because that's the set event, there is excitement as opposed to a larger school with more outside influences or more the chances for students to not be interested in theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you see that with drama as well as sports, like just because we're the smaller school that everybody has a chance to take part and I do my utmost to make sure everyone who wants a part in the play gets one. And that's another advantage of writing it myself, is I can add things in and take things out and change things around, change genders as needed and adapt so that, and when I write these plays, I have specific students in mind often for the different parts.
Well, sure. Cause you see them all the time.
Yeah.
So you can write for them.
Mm-hmm. And that's really neat too.
Yeah. So why did you choose? So A Lighter Shade of Noir is a sort of a spoof on the film noir genre.
Mm-hmm.
Why that? Yeah.
I'm not sure what brought in. I wanted to do a mystery and I'm not sure. Even there, I'm not a big mystery person, but I became one when I decided that. So the better part of the year is just watching different movies and reading different, like, lots of Sherlock Holmes and sort of studying the genre so that I could comment on it. I guess, like you say, it's kind of a spoof, a satire on mm-hmm. genre. So I didn't want to do that without actually knowing it mm-hmm. first.
Do you use your students as part of your writing process? Like, do you bring the script in various forms?
Sometimes. When I started off, I didn't as much. But in more recent years, I'll bring in sort of as I get through the scenes or the acts and run it by them and see what they think. And some of them have great ideas. Like the ending of The Lighter Shade of Noir was completely different when I first wrote it. And one of the kids in my class says, what if he like tried to kill her at the end? Like a grade 8 boy would say, right?
Yep.
And I thought, no, we're not going to, wait a second. And I went back to it and the ending is so much better because of that voice suggestion. And that's kind of neat too.
Do you have, when you were doing this as part of a process, do you ever take your students through the steps on how to give feedback and what's useful feedback? Or is it a free for all?
Mostly a free for all when it's read to the class.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've started up a writing club at school as well. And that's sort of on and off depending what the interest is. And it didn't happen the last couple of years. And then this year, all of a sudden, I think there's 15 kids, which in the school of 200 is a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really awesome to see. And again, you asked before about like how the drama gets mixed into the culture of the school. And that's definitely part of it when the interest goes up and there's the first few years I did, it was just girls. Boys didn't participate. And this year it's half boys and half girls. And so that's great to see as well.
What type of writing do you do in the writing club?
All kinds. Like they're mostly interested in just writing fiction, but I try to bring in some poetry into there and of course the drama part of it. And I told them too, like when I was their age too, I would just write fiction stories, and I never thought I'd be writing drama someday. So just showing them that format of doing it and what you need to communicate and what you don't need to communicate, is all part of the learning process too. And yeah, it'd give me no greater pleasure to see a play by these guys someday too. So it'd be really neat.
Oh, it would be. Well, I just, like for me, that's sort of this is my waving flag moment where I love when the act of writing a play, I think, is something that students find so daunting. And just from getting from an idea stage to developing mm-hmm. it to figuring out how, exactly as you say, figuring out how to communicate only what you need and taking out everything you don't need and then getting to the end, I just think that's it's such a wonderful project for student writers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You bet. And you can see the kids coming up through the years, and you can spot these kids in grade 4 and 5 right now that are just awesome at theater stuff. I see them in the hallways making up their own plays and performing them for their class, and it's not any kind of school project. It's just something they like to do. So you see that and you go, okay, I can't wait for them to get to grade 7 and 8 now and see what they can do.
Why is drama important in middle school?
Well, there's lots of, like I said, like we tie in our ELA curriculum, so you can hit a lot of, at least the Manitoba curriculum, there's lots of different outcomes that you can meet using drama. And it's such a vivid application of those outcomes as well. And it makes it real when you have the community and their friends and their parents and grandparents coming to actually see what they've done. That's an audience that you don't get with a lot of other things that they would do in ELA class.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And just, yeah, bringing something to life like that, even like the backstage parts of things, like those kids are equally proud of it. I would think some of them are so gung-ho for the project and they wouldn't want to step onto the stage, but knowing how to pull together something like that, it gives them a real sense of leadership.
What's the balance for you on a project like this between process and product?
How do you mean?
Well, what do you think is more important for them to get to that final product and put it in front of the audience? Or is it all of the steps that go into the process beforehand?
Yeah. I hadn't really thought about like the process is kind of the part that you want to teach. But if you're not aiming for a product that is something as good as you can do, then there's not much motivation to go through the process. So yeah, I think it all ties together that way. But yeah, it's an interesting way to think about it.
So it's for you, it's balanced. You need both.
Yeah.
An equal.
Yeah, I think another reason that I started writing the plays was I have gone to so many plays with my own students, right? So you go to plays with 12, 13-year-olds who are kind of jaded from watching all these movies, and they have all this commentary, right? And you sit on the bus coming back from these plays and listening to their commentary about it, and say, oh, they should have done this so it looked more real, or this part was funny, or that kind of thing. So all of that went into my writing process of going, okay, I think I can do something that they'll actually really like.
Well, that's pretty astute of that. If you've got middle school students who have the ability to not only form an opinion, but to not only just say, I like or I don't like, but I wish they had done this, like they're being specific.
Yeah. And I sit there sort of attuned to the students as much as the play that's happening to see what they react to and what they don't react to.
Well, that makes you a good youth writer. You know, I think that's half the battle for writing for youth is being aware of who you're writing for.
Yeah. And I'm sitting with my audience almost every day during the year. So pretty
immediate. Absolutely. Okay. Just as we end up with that's A Lighter Shade of Noir from Patrick. And Patrick, what's your favorite part of this play? What do you like most about it?
I don't know, the interaction among the characters and having, like, I think my favorite character in the play is Tracy Dick.
Yes.
Again, is a nod to the Mennonite last name, because there's lots of kids with that last name there. So we didn't have any Tracy's, so that worked out okay. But
but it's also, but it works well because it's also a nod to, there's the private Dick, the police aspect.
Yeah, so it was, but that character, every time that they interact, the exasperated frustration that character feels in this group of
bizarro
detectives. Yes.
Bizarre detectives. We have detectives and we have sidekicks and villains. And there's a lot of, not only is the writing stylized, everyone has to act in a very stylized manner. Was that difficult to get your students to take on this sort of exaggerated posturing that would happen in a spoof of a noir?
They took to that pretty naturally.
Yeah.
I didn't have to coach a lot of that stuff. I kind of let them run with it. And I guess when the characters are kind of caricatures like that, then they can already tap into the stuff that they know about that type of character. Like you had the old lady, and immediately the student that I had playing her was Miss Beatrice knew exactly what to do. I don't know who she was modeling her performance on, but bent over double and couldn't see properly, and yeah, she really knew what to do. And most of the character, like I said, I had certain students in mind from the get-go as I was writing, so I could play off their strengths. The guy who played Trent Trowell he had the right voice and demeanor for that part already. So, and then I can have certain fun that with that guy who would sometimes give me some trouble during class. Well, then I could make a part where he gets smacked around in the play a little bit.
Okay. So, just to wrap up here. So for anyone else out there who is in the same boat as you, where you're in a small rural community, there's not an official drama program, they're doing drama with their class. What would you say three pieces of advice would be to another teacher who is thinking about doing a drama or doing a play with their students?
Yeah, I guess the number one thing is to get everybody involved. So whether they want to act or not, you find something that they're responsible for so that they can be a leader. And that keeps everybody motivated and working on something. Another thing, I guess, in a small community like that, then you have to make sure that you're considering the, like, what the wants and needs of the kids are so that you can adapt for that as well. And yeah, get your community involved. Get them, like I had people in the community sewing dresses and getting me in the local paper. And like, the more that you can involve the community in the process, the better it is as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you for asking. That was great.
Thank you, Patrick. So before we go, let's do some theater folk news. It's a play feature. It's a play feature. It's time to feature a play. And I would love it if you all checked out Patrick's play, A Lighter Shade of Noir. So Trent Trowell is your typical gumshoe. He's searching the mean streets for crimes to solve and dames to fall for. He joins some of the world's most famous detectives at the International PD Gala. There's Shirley Holmes, Jean-Louis, Philippe Eustache, and Beatrice. But is this just an innocent gala? Will the world's most dastardly villains foil them with a fiendish master plan? Oh, those fiendish master plans. Everything is not what it seems, though, of course. So what I love about this play is that it's not just the high style of noir, which I think is a fantastic style to introduce to students, just to get them to play around with the way that the language sounds. But it's also the humor that Patrick brings to this style. You know, the play is a lighter shade of noir after all. And to the characters, you know, this play offers a lovely introduction to playing high stylized characters who also have something at stake. It's not just about a shallow character presenting a style. These characters have wants, and they pursue those wants, and that is also something that we want to introduce to our students, that when you're playing a character, you have to give them something to do, something to want, something to strive for. That's the foundation of all good plays. So go read sample pages at theaterfolk.com or catch the link in the show notes, theaterfolk.com/episode126. Finally, where oh where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk, and you can find us on the Stitcher app. You can also subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you gotta do is search for the word, what is it? Oh yeah, Theater Folk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.